Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Now today, we're looking at the importance of revelation in the life of the believer. The importance of revelation in the life of the believer. Now, what is revelation? Now, we understand that revelation is the perception of reality. The perception of reality as given to us by God. The perception of reality as given to us by God. That's what revelation is. Praise God. Now, what is reality? Reality is truth. Reality is whatever God says. That's reality. The Bible tells us in Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, Jesus speaking, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So thy word is reality. The word of God is reality. That's what it is. Glory to God. So whatever God says, whatever God commands is reality. Now, whatever God has not said or did not command is not reality. It may look like it, but it is not it. Praise God. So we have to understand the difference between reality and falsehood. Reality is the word, what God commands. Whatever God says about a thing, about a situation, about a person is reality. Glory to God. So revelation is the perception of reality as given to us by the word of God. That's what it is. Praise God. That is what it is. Now, what's the place of revelation in the life of a believer? All right. Number one, understand that the kind of life that we have been called to live is a life of faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Now, because the just shall live by faith, we understand that we have to be able to perceive reality correctly and respond to it accordingly before we can live by faith. So faith is actually a perception of reality, all right, and your intelligible response to it. That's what faith is. Praise God. Now, sight is a perception of physicality, the natural reality, all right, and then your response to it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. So we walk by faith, all right, not by sight. So sight itself is a perception of physical or sensual reality. Amen. Now, and that reality is actually temporal. It is subject to change. Sensual reality is not permanent. It is not eternal. Now, little wonder the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you start the reading from verse 16 to 18, it tells us that the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. Amen. So the things that are not seen, that those are the things that are in the realm of the spirit, the things pertaining to the realm of God's word. The Bible says they are eternal. They are not subject to change. But the things that are seen, sensual things, physical things, are subject to change. Glory to God. So faith is the perception of the word of God and a corresponding action that goes with it. That's what faith is. For example, God tells you that I'm with you. You believe that. What does that mean? All right? God is with you. His presence is with you. That means his help is with you. He's going to help you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, your feeling may be different. You may feel like, okay, God is not with me. Circumstances are not working together in my favor. But the reality says God is with you. Praise God. So what do? You have to respond to that beyond your five physical senses. Now, this is one of the lessons we have to learn in our faith walk. Learning that faith is not within the domain of the five physical senses. Faith is beyond the domain, the arena of the five physical senses. Sometimes people are trying to walk by faith, Christians, and then they're responding to their senses while they're walking by faith. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. If you're going to walk by faith, there's only one thing you're dealing with, which is the Word of God. And that Word has been revealed to you. All right? You know deep within your heart that that Word is true in your case. And so you're responding to it intelligibly. That's what faith is. Now, so I'm walking by faith. I do not have any business with the senses. All right? My senses may tell me something contrary to what my faith has told me. All right? I have to go by my faith, the perception of the Word of God, and not respond to my senses. That's what it means to walk by faith. And you cannot walk by faith and by sight at the same time. All right? The Bible tells us, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. All right? So the Bible doesn't say we walk by faith and by sight. No. It says we walk by faith and not by sensory perception. Praise God. So the importance of revelation, all right, is rooted in the fact that our life in Christ is a life of faith. And because we live by faith, we need to perceive the reality of God's word beyond the five physical senses. You understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there is no way we can live by faith and not have a perception of the word of God. See, the word of God is reality. All right? Our perception of that reality and our action or response to that reality is called faith. So for faith, you know, to be, for faith to take place, or for the action of faith to be taken, we must have the revelation of the word of God. Praise God. Now, when God reveals his word to us, all right, how does he do it? All right, and where does he reveal his word to us? You know, we understand that God is a spirit being, and when he reveals his word to us, he reveals his word to us in our spirits, in our hearts. Now, man is primarily a spirit being that possesses a soul and lives in a body. Now, when you receive the revelation of God's word, the first part of you that receives that word is your spirit. And then when your spirit responds to that word in faith, all right, then your soul can line up with your spirit, and then your body in turn lines up with your soul. Glory to God. And that is what the Bible speaks of as renewing the mind and then putting the body under, praise God, respectively. Now, when your soul lines up with the word of God in your heart, in your spirit, all right, that is renewing the mind. Your mind is renewed. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, when you receive the revelation of God's word, the first port of call is your spirit. That is the first port of call. Your spirit receives that word, and then your soul lines up. There are times, you know, you've received the revelation in your spirit, and your mind is still like, you know, light years behind that revelation. All right? But the moment you hold on to that revelation and you keep musing that revelation, you keep meditating on the Word of God, what happens is this. Your soul will line up with that revelation, and then your body has no choice than to come under the influence of your soul, for two are better than one. Praise God. Now your soul has come into alignment with your spirit, and then your body has to come into alignment with your soul. Praise God. But when your soul lines up with your body, all right, against your spirit, and there is no firm grip of that revelation in your heart, what happens is this. Amen. your spirit will now begin to give way to the influence of your soul, and then the influence of your body, and that is called carnality. That is called carnality. Praise God. Now, I want you to understand how these things work. The life of faith is a life that responds to the Word of God, and to the Word of God only. To the Word of God and to the Word of God only. All right? And the revelation of God's Word comes to your spirit first. That's the first port of call. Amen? Comes to your spirit first. And then your soul lines up. Praise God. Now, that's why it is very important that we live by the revelation of God's Word, because that's how the new man lives. We live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. Now, when the revelation of God's Word comes, it comes to you to move you forward. Now, when God leads, He leads forward. God doesn't lead backward. God leads forward. Now, the light of God's Word will come to you to move you forward from where you are at to the place that you ought to be. Amen? All right? The Bible says we walk. It didn't say we stagnate by faith. It says we walk. It didn't say we stand on one spot by faith. It says we walk by faith. You understand that a walk is a series of steps in the right direction. A series of steps in the right direction. So that means you're walking, taking one step upon another, and then you're making progress. You're making progress. And that's what the life of faith is all about. It's to move you into the fulfillment of God's plan, God's purpose for your life. And that can only happen by revelation. All right? If you're not walking by faith, you sure are walking by sight. And that's not the life of the Christian. The life of the Christian is a life of faith. We live by faith and not by sight. So today, having given you the prelude to what I'm about to share with you, the importance of revelation in the life of a believer, I want to tell you, you know, one by one, what the revelation of God's Word will do for you. Amen. Number one, the revelation of God's Word will feed your spirit. It will feed your spirit. Amen. Now, we are in a trying time all over the world. All right? Perilous times are here. And people do not know what the future holds for them. And they are running helter-skelter, you know, feeding on all kinds of junks online. All right? You see, you need to feed your spirit with the right stuff. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. So you see, according to design and creation, you are meant to feed on the Word. God and His Word are one. In essence, you are meant to feed on God. Praise God. Angels have their own food. All right? The Bible speaks of the food of angel. All right? And a man has his own food. Our food is the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, the part of you that eats natural food is just the physical part of you. Your soul cannot feed on natural food, physical food. All right? Your spirit does not feed on physical food. Your spirit feeds on the Word of God. And don't forget that the core of you, the real you, all right, the substance of your being is your spirit. And that is the part of you that ought to be fed the most. All right? Your spirit feeds on the Word. On the Word. So when you are exposed to revelation knowledge, what happens is this. You are fed. And then you are built up. We understand how the physical being or physical part of us, the body, is built by, you know, eating, feeding on natural food and exercising. So you see, when you feed on the Word of God, the revelation of God's Word, and you act on it, you live by the Word, you're built up within. Amen. You go from grace to grace and from glory to glory. So the revelation of God's Word builds us up. It is very possible for a man to have age on his side, or a woman to have age on her side, and not have growth, spiritual growth on his or her side, as the case may be. Why? Because, you see, one may grow and develop physically and may never develop spiritually. All right? Because if you feed on natural food and then you grow by reason of that, but you don't feed on the Word of God, does not mean, okay, I've been in Christ for, you know, 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. Does not mean the person has, you know, that chronological level of development spiritually. All right? So you have to feed on the Word of God. It's a conscious thing, like eating. You don't sit down on your bed or sleep on your bed and then you're fed right there. All right? You have to make your food yourself. All right, or probably go to a restaurant where the food is already prepared and then you feed on it. You don't say the waiter or waitress to feed you with the food. All right, having bought it, you have to eat it. Praise God. In the same vein, we have to feed on the Word of God to grow spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to feed on the Word. So when we are open to revelation, the revelation of God's Word, we are fed. We are strengthened. Glory to God. And that's what it does for us. It feeds us. Now, when your spirit is fed, you are strong. All right? You are energized. And when you are energized, what happens is this. You can do things for God. You can move in the realm of God. You can do things for God. Glory to God. When you are fed. This is very important. But when you are not fed, you're weak spiritually. All right, you cannot do things for God. It is very, very likely that someone who is not well fed in God's word is not going to fulfill his or her destiny. All right, because there won't be strength to be able to do that. There won't be strength to be able to do things for God. Amen. So it takes the food of God's word. See, prayer is very important. All right, but prayer doesn't feed us. The word does. We can pray from morning till night and still not be fed because prayer doesn't feed us. The Word does. What prayer does is prayer opens us up to revelation. But we still have to feed on the revelation of God's Word, all right, to be strengthened. Glory to God. And that's why the Word of God is very, very important. So revelation feeds us. Number two, revelation is our link to the future. You know, you see, God is not trying to plan your future right now. God is not waiting on you to see how you're faring or how you will fare, you know, and then he's going to use that to prepare a future for you. No. The Bible tells us that known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. So God had predetermined everything before creating the world, before creating you. Praise God. So revelation is your link to the future. What is the future that God has prepared for you? You want to know it? It has to be revealed to you. You know, Jeremiah cried out with a loud voice in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. He says, "O Lord, I know that the way that a man must go is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Glory to God. So you see, that's how it works. The future that God has for you is not in sight. Is not in sight. All right? Natural sight. The future that God has for you is not in view. Natural view. The future that God has for you is in revelation. Glory to God. It has to be revealed to you. You see, God has coded and passworded his intent, his will, his purposes for us. Many are the devices of the heart of a man. Devices may come to you. Thoughts may come to you. All right? But to get to know the exact thing that God willed and purposed before the foundation of the world concerning your life, it has to be revealed to you. Praise God. So the revelation of the will of God, all right, is the revelation, the unveiling of his purpose, his plan for us. Glory to God. So what revelation does is this. Revelation will acquaint you with your future. You see, you can know about your future before it happens. the future of Joseph was revealed to him before it happened. Before it ever happened at all, God had revealed his future to him. How? By revelation. All right? So you see, revelation unveils to us tomorrow, all right, before tomorrow happens. And what a beautiful thing. It's an advantage to have knowledge of the future before it happens. All right? And we have that privilege in Christ. You can know the future. And that's one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he says he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Not just things to come about the nation, about your country, about the church, but things to come about your life. Praise God. So revelation brings you to that place of becoming acquainted with your future. God begins to reveal your future to you. This is very, very, very powerful. Glory to God. Very powerful. Praise God. Now, understand that the moment you get to understand your future, there's a way it helps your demeanor, your carriage. All right? The way you carry yourself, your behavior. Look at how Joseph carried himself, even in Potiphar's house. All right? He had seen his future. And what did he do? He carried himself wisely. He conducted his affairs wisely. You know, you remember when Potiphar's wife, you know, asked him to sleep with her? He rejected. He said, "Shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, when people do not have a good understanding of their future, all right, you can tell in the way they carry themselves. They start misfiring and misbehaving. They abuse people they are not meant to abuse. They disconnect from friends that are meant to be, you know, for life. All right? They make for life friends that are meant to be seasonal. See? Why? Because they lack revelation. Revelation. So revelation comes to us to inform us and prepare us for the future. There's a future that God has prepared for you. All right? And revelation will come to connect the dot between where you're at now and where God is taking you. Praise God. And I pray for you, the eyes of your understanding are illuminated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, things are happening all over the world and people are asking questions. Some people are already afraid, they are perplexed, and they are asking, what will happen? Have we come to the end of the world? Now, revelation reveals to us that we have not yet come to the end of the world. All right, we're in the end time, but not the end of the world yet. Praise God. Certain things must happen to mark this end time. And in the midst of all that, where do we stand? Revelation will position you strategically. All right? We position you to be someone who has the advantage. You are in a position of advantage. That's what revelation does. All right? You know what you ought to be doing part time. All right? That was the characteristics, one of the characteristics of the children of Issachar. The Bible says they were well informed. They knew what Israel ought to do at that particular time. Praise God. Amen. And because of that, the Bible tells us that all their brethren were at their command. When you have revelation, you're in charge. You're in charge. Not your situation, not your circumstance, not, you know, the government of your country, all right? Not your, you know, your environment, but you're in charge. Not Satan. Satan is not in charge because you have revelation of the future. Praise God. And that's very important. All right? So revelation feeds us. All right? We feed on the revelation of God's word. Number two, revelation positions us strategically and gives us the advantage to prepare for the future. There's a future for you. That's the truth. Surely there's an end. And the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. There's a future that God has prepared for you. You know, there's no way you can escape that future. Why? Because that's why you're still alive. All that God is doing in your life right now, the preservation and everything, is to one end. That future that God has prepared for you. Praise God. And you have to know it. You have to understand it. Amen. And then number three, the importance of revelation. Revelation is what determines your possession, your inheritance in Christ. You know, Paul when he was departing from the elders of the church of Ephesus at Miletus. He spoke these words to them in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 and verse 32. He says, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and then give you what? An inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. So revelation is your inheritance. All right. As far as you can see, that's how much you can take. That's how much you can possess. You cannot possess much more than you can see. Remember in Genesis chapter 13, God spoke to Abraham and he said to him, he says, look, lift up your eyes now after Lord had departed from him. All right. Northward, southward, westward, eastward. All right. He says, all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Praise God. See, God is going to give you that land. He's going to give you that possession. All right. It does not matter what is happening around. It does not matter the state of the economy. It does not matter, you know, your background, your pedigree. It does not matter, you know, the economic power or socioeconomic power of your parents. God is going to give you what you can see. All right? See, revelation determines how much we can handle for God, how much we can take in life, how much we can possess in life. Your inheritance is revelation-based. All right? If you can't see it, you can't have it. You can't take it. You can't possess it. All right? But if you can see it, then it's yours. Praise God. That was what Elijah told Elisha when he made a great request, a hard request. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, oh, you've asked for a hard thing. But when you can see me, when I'm being taken up, all right, your request shall be granted. So he saw him and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and the mantle fell, just dropped. See? So it depends on what you can see. What can you see? What can you see? God asked Jeremiah this question. Son of man, what seest thou? Jeremiah 1 and verse 11. He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. He says, thou seest well. Thou seest well. I will hasten my word to perform it. All right? Which means I'll watch over my word to perform it. Whatever you have seen in God's word, that's what God is watching over to perform in your life. Because whatever you can see, all right, that's what you can believe. And whatever you can believe and have believed, that's what God is going to perform unto you. All right? For blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. So, you see, your inheritance, it's a function of how much you can see, what you can see. What are you seeing? All right? Whatever you can see in God's word, that's yours. You know, I remember a time, you know, after, you know, I got born again, I had a challenge, you know, with lust, and I was trusting God for a touch, an encounter from God. You know, and then the Lord, Holy Spirit, led me to this scripture in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. All right, having crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I saw that scripture and the power of lust was broken from off my life. And I began to live in victory ever since that time to date. Amen. You see, victory is a product of revelation. Inheritance is a product of revelation. All right? In Christ Jesus, there is no room for envy. You don't have to envy your brother or your sister. All right? What can you see? Are you seeing your inheritance in Christ? Don't forget that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven places in Christ Jesus. So what can you see? What can you see? That is what is going to determine what you're going to get and how much you're going to get. Praise God. Amen? All the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Number four, the importance of revelation. All right, now, revelation determines our intimacy with God, the level of our relationship with God. All right, let's take Moses as an example. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, Aaron and Miriam knew God to a degree, at a level, a particular level. All right? And when God revealed himself to them, he revealed himself to them, all right, in dreams, in visions. But Moses knew God very intimately. God spoke to him mouth to mouth. All right? Now, what determined the level of relationship that Moses had with God? Revelation. Revelation. He was a mountain dweller and he kept going to God, seeking the face of God. So he knew God very intimately. In fact, when he was introducing the law to the children of Israel, he said, "This is your life." They didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. All right? It was law to them, but it was life to Moses. Why? Because God spoke those things to him, all right? And those things were written. But you see, they didn't hear the living word of God that he had spoken to Moses. They only saw the handwriting of God on the tables of stone. See? So they didn't understand what Moses presented to them. Amen. So they saw the acts of God. They saw the miracles of God. But they didn't know the ways of God. Praise God. So you see, revelation determines your level of intimacy with God. Now, the more you know him by revelation, the more your spirit is endeared to him. Your spirit is endeared to God as you get to know him. Praise God. Amen. This was why Paul was crying. He said, "Look, everything that was gained to me," in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "I have counted them but dung, that I may win Christ." All right, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Praise God. Now, this is so powerful. You cannot go past your level of revelation of God that you have. The level of revelation of God that you have, you can't go beyond it. It's not possible. All right? Even in prophesying, all right, even as a prophet, you cannot prophesy beyond the proportion of your faith. And you know how faith comes by revelation of the word. Praise God. See? So we understand that whatever God has cut out for us to be and to do, the extent, you know, that we can go in that regard is dependent on our revelation of God. Amen? The revelation of God is life. Jesus, the Lord speaking in Gospel according to St. John chapter 17, we start reading from verse 2 into 3. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So life responds to revelation. Life responds to revelation. All right? Intimacy with God. That life of intimacy with God is dependent on your level of revelation of God. Now, the more you seek the revelation of God, the more you seek to know God, the more intimate you will become with God. Hallelujah. This is very important. Praise God. So, intimacy. Let me give you another example. All right. We understand the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 of them, how they were close to Jesus in the flesh, Jesus while he was in the body. All right, they knew him in part. They didn't know him as much as they should have known him. All right, because Jesus could not reveal himself to them in his fullness. So the knowledge of Jesus they had in the flesh was limited. And then Jesus died, was raised from the dead, and the Bible tells us that Jesus revealed himself to them. Now, it was a different dimension of revelation of Jesus to them. This was not the Jesus they knew according to the flesh anymore. All right? This was the resurrected Jesus. And the Bible tells us they were gathered together in the room. He didn't have to knock on the door. He didn't have to, you know, ask someone to answer to, you know, the door, the call. All right? He just came in. Maybe he went through the wall or through the roof. We can't tell. He just appeared before them. Praise God. And he spoke to them. Understand that. All right? Now, that was the resurrected Jesus, still with a physical body. Amen. And then there was a revelation of Jesus given to the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus. You remember? All right? At noonday, and there was a bright light that shone upon them, and they fell under the impact and strength of that light. And Jesus appeared to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, the Jesus he saw was different from the Jesus that the apostles saw. I'm talking about glory manifestation now. The apostles saw when Jesus was raised from the dead. Praise God. All right, so we'll see Jesus in the flesh, we'll see Jesus, resurrected Jesus with a physical body, and we'll see Jesus in his fullness of glory. And that was what Paul saw. Saul, that was later called Paul, and his life was translated, all right, transformed and revolutionized permanently. Why? Because of the level of revelation that God gave him. Now listen very carefully. Revelation determines intimacy. There were certain things that the Apostle Paul knew and understood and even shared with the co-apostles that, of course, they understood it, but they marveled at his depth, you know, the depth of revelation that he had. All right? And because of the abundance of the revelation given to him, he stood out amongst the apostles. He was not privileged to be one of the apostles of the Lamb selected by Jesus Christ himself during his earthly walk, but he stood out because he had revelation. And one thing that revelation brings is intimacy and unique understanding of how things work, particularly the things of God. Amen? And so he wrote more than half of the New Testament. Why? Because of that revelation. Revelation, abundance of revelation. And may I also say this, that abundance of revelation also comes with the need to be humble and to be very meek. Praise God. It gives more grace. It gives grace to the humble. All right? Because of the abundance of revelation given to the Apostle Paul, you remember the messenger of Satan, all right, that buffeted him, was sent to him, a thorn in his flesh, so that he would not exalt himself above measure. All right? Because revelation is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Now, let me show you this scripture very quickly. Okay? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you enjoying this teaching? I believe you are. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right? Start reading here from verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." All right? It says, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of where? Darkness. Has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, listen very carefully. Now, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth here, is not referring to every believer. He's talking about himself. All right? But that does not mean that every believer cannot have that kind of experience that he had. All right? But he was talking about himself. Because if you look at the next verse, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us." And then verse 8, still speaking about himself and his crew. All right? It says, "We are troubled on every side." Now, he's not talking about every believer, because it's not every believer that is troubled on every side. "Yet not distressed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." See? Now, this is the point here. He calls this light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. He calls it this treasure. He calls it this treasure. You know, the most valuable treasure on earth today is not gold, is not diamond, is not crude oil. Praise God. Amen. The most valuable treasure on earth today is not technology. The most valuable treasure on earth today is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It is called revelation knowledge. And he calls it a treasure. it's a treasure. All right? You see, the light of God's word is a treasure. The moment you come to know that you have a treasure in you and you value it, all right, no matter how small it is at the moment, all right, you take heed to that light. You take heed to it. You take heed to it. Praise God. You take heed to it. As a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. See, that's how, you know, to grow in the things of God. We'll come into that. All right? So, light means intimacy. The level of light determines the level of intimacy. Revelation determines intimacy with God. Amen. The importance of revelation. Now, why is it important to have the revelation of God's word? Amen. Now, revelation determines our level of performance, efficiency, effectiveness. Amen. Now, if you want to be effective in life and you want to stand out in your effectiveness, then you have to have a good revelation of the Word of God. Now, how does that play? How does it play out? Number one, when you have revelation, what it does is this. You can see what others cannot see. And then you have understanding of how things work beyond the telling of the mouth, beyond what is happening around you. You know, there's appearance and then there's reality. You know, the things that appear sometimes, if you have revelation, all right, you will not respond to them. You will be effective in what you do. An example here is seen in how Elisha responded to the Syrian army, the soldiers of the Syrian, all right, and how his servant responded. When his servant saw the army, he was afraid. He says, "Alas, master, all right, we are surrounded. Alas, we are in trouble." But Elisha was calm. Why? Because Elisha had the privilege of revelation. He could see beyond the natural. Elisha was seeing the host of heaven round about him, round about his city. All right? Horses and chariots of fire round about his city. The young man was seeing the army of the Syrians. See? So his response was based on what he could see. We always respond to life based on what we can see. All right? Perception. Perception. And that is what impacts on our effectiveness in life. For example, two businessmen, all right, are in the same community. And in that community, a lot of people are broke. They don't have money. They are poor. Now, when people are poor, it does not mean that, you know, they don't have money at all. People don't have money means they are broke, they are poor. But they still have some money, so to speak. All right, so this businessman A looks and says, they don't have money. Businessman B looks and says, yeah, they don't have money, but they still have some money. All right, so how do I meet their needs? How do I meet their needs? Businessman A leaves that community complaining that it's a poor community. Businessman B, all right, sees things differently. So he says, they still have some money. I can help them. They have needs, but they still have some money to meet their needs with. So how do I meet their needs? So he starts asking questions. What is their need? All right? See, let me tell you something. The moment you complain about anything, your sense of creativity, your ingenuity, your ability to take the initiative dies right there and then. That's what complaint does. When you complain about anything, all right, your ability to take the lead in that thing, to move ahead of others in that thing, dies. Praise God. But the moment you can look past your nose, you can see beyond what is being presented to you, then you can make the most of your circumstances. Praise God. And that's what revelation does. See, effective people are people that have revelation. All right? They can see what others are not seeing. They know how to solve problems. All right? Others are seeing problems. They are seeing solutions. Others are seeing, you know, a weakened economy. They are seeing the possibility of reviving it. Praise God. All right? Others are seeing weaknesses, sicknesses, diseases. All right? They can see a healing ministry. Praise God. So they can go about ministering to the sick. All right? Fulfilling the ministry of Jesus by extension. Glory to God. You see, how do you see things? How do you see life? That's what determines your effectiveness. You're as effective as your perception of life, your perception of reality. Glory to God. Amen? I said amen. Now, Jesus, when he multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he told his disciples, he said, look, the people are hungry. Give them something to eat. All right? He himself, within himself, knew what he would do. He had revelation. But he was testing them. He wanted to know how they would respond to that situation. And then they said, Master, what did you just say? Give them something to eat. How? All right? If we buy bread worth, 200 penny, all right, we can't feed these people. All right? And if we send them to go back home to find food for themselves, they may die on the way because this is a wilderness. And Jesus said, what do you have? And there was a boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them to me. He took them. See, revelation, when you have revelation, you know what to do. You become effective. All right? When people are, overwhelmed by their circumstances and situations, it is proof that they lack revelation. Like Elisha's servant, he was overwhelmed. He didn't have revelation, so he wasn't effective. And then Elisha had to pray, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then when he saw, he had his peace back. Glory to God. See, that's what revelation does. You become effective at what you do. Praise God. So, revelation determines effectiveness. Jesus knew what he would do, took the loaves of bread and 2 fish, and then he blessed. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He didn't declare a special prayer meeting. All right? See, he had done his praying before that time. And he knew what to do. His eyes of understanding were open. Now, you see, there's nothing wrong with praying. All right? Praying is very important. But you see, when it is time to manifest, God, you shouldn't be praying at that time. You should manifest God. You should have done your praying behind the scene much, much earlier before that time. Praise God. Amen. So he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. Praise God. Man, now listen to this. He prayed. He said, look, get the people to sit down. All right. He broke the bread, put it in the hands of his disciples. He said, put it in their hands. All right. And they ate and ate and ate. They couldn't exhaust it. Amen. They had, 12 baskets of leftover. Praise God. That's how powerful revelation is. You see, with revelation of the Word of God, you can never be stranded. Did you hear what I just told you? You can never be stranded with revelation. With the revelation of God's word in your spirit and your commitment to live by it, to act upon that word, you can never be stranded. All right? In fact, that word stranded is forever removed from your dictionary. You don't have it anymore right there. It's not in your construction of words. It's not in your parlance anymore. You are free, exempted from hardship and being stranded for life. Because that's what revelation does. It puts you on top of the situation. You become effective. Amen? Effective people know what to do per time. They're effective. All right? They're not asking questions around. They know what to do per time. Praise God. All right? Now, let me give you one more. All right? The importance of revelation. What revelation would do for you. What revelation would do for you. Now, when you have revelation, you will be empowered to help others. You see, revelation makes you more than blessed. Revelation makes you a blessing. When you have revelation, you can bless others. Now, the blessing of Abraham that we are enjoying, every one of us in Christ, is enjoying today, was given to him by revelation. He had that revelation. God spoke to him to leave his country, his people, to a place that will show him, all right? And then God made him wonderful promises. I'll bless you, be a blessing, you know, I'll make your name great, all right? And on like that. And then in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed. Glory to God. Amen. And then again in Genesis chapter 22, God reenacted that blessing by an oath. You see, revelation of God makes you more than blessed. No, it's good to be blessed. We are blessed in Christ. All right? And much more than being blessed, God wants us to be a blessing. All right? He wants you to flow out to be a blessing to your world. Praise God. That is very important. Amen? So revelation empowers you to be a deliverer, a giver, a leader, a problem solver. Revelation empowers you to take the lead in life. All right? Revelation empowers you to be a blessing. All right? You're blessing people. You're blessing people. Praise God. Because you can see. Now, if you look at Joseph again, the reason Joseph didn't complain and didn't become bitter in his situation, all right, even in slavery, he was not bitter. The reason he was not bitter was because he had a revelation of the future. Now, when it was time to reconcile with his brethren, you know what happened? Amen. Joseph introduced himself to them. I am Joseph. They felt like, you know, telling the ground to open its mouth and swallow them up. They couldn't stand him. He said, hey, relax. God sent me ahead of you. Amen. What a description. God sent me ahead of you. Amen. You see, people who have a dream given by God, a revelation, they're always ahead of others. Amen. They are the ones that are blessings, much more than blessed. Amen. And that's what it's going to do for you. So, you see, revelation is very, very important. In fact, it's too important. It's too important. You have to have revelation. It is important. Amen. Now, let me say this very quickly as we begin to round up. How do you access divine revelation? This is very important. How do you access divine revelation? Don't forget this month is a month of revelation and faith. Now, number one, you must recognize the need for revelation. And having heard me share on the importance of revelation, you already know the need for revelation. Number two, begin to seek the face of God in prayer. Now, don't forget that revelation is God-given. Now, you may concoct scriptures together and conjure scriptures together, all right? And then say something that you think those scriptures are saying, all right? That doesn't necessarily mean that you have revelation. Revelation is God-given. You remember the account of Jesus and his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 when he was asking them to know what the people, you know, were saying about him. Who do men say that I am? Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was, you know, John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some said he was, you know, one of the prophets. And then he turned to his disciples and said, who do you say I am? And then they went quiet, but Peter spoke up, Simon. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he said, now I call you Petros, Peter, formerly Simon, but I call you Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon what rock? The rock of that revelation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter was one of the founding apostles of the church, but he was not the foundation of the church. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Praise God. Amen? I said amen. So understand how it works. Now, what revelation? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything God is going to do in your life, he's going to do by revelation or through the revelation of his word. And everything he's going to build in your life is going to build upon the foundation of his word, the revelation of his word. Praise God. So revelation is given. It's given by God. God gives revelation. He is the giver of light. The Bible says with him alone is the fountain of life, and in his light shall we see light. We see light in his light. Glory to God. He's the one who gives revelation. So when you look up to him, knowing in your heart that you live by faith, which is premised on the revelation of God's word, then God knows that you need that revelation. He gives it to you. He gives it to you. Praise God. So, pray for it. We saw Paul, the apostle, praying for a revelation for the churches. For the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. All right. He says, I also, when I heard of your faith and your love towards all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and on like that. Praise God. Now, understand how these things work. Amen? See, he prayed for them. Now, does that mean he didn't teach them the word? No. He taught them the word. He taught them the word. All right? You see, teaching of the word is important, but it's not enough. It is not enough. All right? When the word is taught, the revelation of the taught word must be given to people by the Spirit of God. It's an impartation that comes to your spirit. When that revelation comes, it must be imparted to you by the Holy Ghost. And so revelation is given. You pray for it. You pray for it. You ask God for it. Amen? And then he gives it to you. Glory to God. Now, in praying for the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, if you read from verse 9 to verse 11, all right, he was also praying for them to be made perfect in all the will of God, all right, to walk in that perfect will of God, roundedness of God's will, knowing the will of God, revelation. Same with the church at Philippi, all right. So it tells us that revelation comes by the giving of God. All right? God has to gift you with that revelation. He has to give it to you. Praise God. It's by the giving of God. Amen. So we ask for it. Praise God. Now, number three, we have to meditate in the word. All right? Give attention to God's word. You must give heed to the word. What does that mean? You see, have an attitude of listening. An attentive attitude. An attitude of attentiveness to God's word. All right? See, be given to less hype. Give attention to the substance of God's word. You see, this generation is a beautiful generation. People love hype because they are used to entertainment. All right? And if there's no hype in it, then God is not in it. That's not correct. Sometimes it's not in the thundering. All right, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the wind, it is in the still small voice. Amen? So have an attitude of attentiveness to God's word. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It tells us, it says, my son, attend, give attention to my words. All right? Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, note the plurality of the word there, sayings. You are not to give heed to God's word, just faith alone. All right? And then somebody's talking about humility, meekness, submission to godly authority. You don't want to hear about that. It says, my sayings. God has said many things about the different aspects of our lives. Praise God. He says, give ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eye. Let them, not it, them, his many sayings. All right? Regarding the many areas of our lives. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of thine heart. For their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. See, life begins at the place of finding God's word. All right? Not at the place of searching to find. All right? Life begins at the place of finding God's word. Ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But when we learn under the supervision of the Holy Spirit and with meekness of heart, God will cause us to find his word. When you find the truth of God's word, you found a treasure. You found what to live for. You found what your life can be centered around. You found the truth. You found life. Glory to God. He says they are health, medicine, mape to all their flesh. From the very crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you are quickened, made alive by the word of God that you have found. You found that word is in your spirit. Boy, you are made for life. Glory to God. Amen. So give attention to the word. Double attention. It says, my son, give attention to my word. And then it says, incline your ear to my sayings. Can you imagine? All right. Give attention, incline your ears. To incline your ear to God's sayings is giving attention to the word of God. He says, do it again and again. The Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard. Twice have I heard. You have to hear it again and again and again. Give attention to the word of God. Have an ear, all right, that is circumcised. An ear that is attentive to the word. Not an ear that itches. All right, itching ears are troublesome. You know, people, you know, they pride themselves in the abundance of what they know, all right, but not in the abundance of what they know that is working for them, all right, until that so-called revelation, in quote now, is working for you and delivering, all right, on its promises in your life, it is not revelation yet, all right, because true revelation from God always gets the job done. You cannot know by God and not know indeed. Anytime you know by revelation, you know indeed. Praise God. So, give yourself to God's word. Listen. Listen. Don't jump. Don't be quick to want to share something. Listen first. And listen again. And listen again. Until what you have within you is rounded. All right? And that revelation preserves you. It keeps you. Praise God. So we must give attention to the word of God. In audio form, in video form, praise God, in print. In print. Amen? You read your Bible, hard copy. Praise God. All right? You listen to audio Bible. You also read books. Praise God. Soft copy, hard copy. You read your Bible as well, soft copy. Give attention to the word. Now, you see, the things of God are valuable. All right? And it takes value to get value. Now, God is not saying, go and bring 1 million naira, then I'll give you revelation. No. He's saying, pay attention. So that's the only price to pay, attention. How much attention have you paid to the word of God? You have to pay it. Pay attention to the word. All right? Listen to it. Listen to the word. You hear it. You see, pure thoughts from the realm of glory, pure thoughts, liberating thoughts, when they stream through your mind and you capture them and meditate on them and they sink into your inner being, I tell you, life has just begun for you. There's a thrill of freedom that goes through your being from the very crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are invigorated. Amen. That's how revelation changes us, transforms us. We all with open face, unveiled face, beholding, beholding. How much do you behold per day? Are you giving heed to the word? You know, it's easier to complain about our challenges, all right, than to give heed to the word. It's easier. You know, this is not, I don't know why. Why can't you sit down, all right, and know why? Why that thing is not working? God is going to show it to you. Amen? You search and search and search with your spirit, with a longing. Sometimes you add fasting to it to search. And you read the Bible, searching. Lord, show me the answer. There are many questions in life. And there are many questions as there are people. As there are circumstances peculiar to people. Amen. But you see, we have the answer in the Word. The Word doesn't ask us questions. The Word is the answer. All right? You search and find it. Find the Word. And says, it is life to you and health to all your flesh. Health. Glory to God. Amen. So, be a student of God's Word. Amen. A life student of God's Word. A student for a lifetime. Be a disciple of the Word of God. Longing to know. And you see, our inquisitiveness or curiosity as to God's word is not about how much we can show people that we know. It's about our longing, our desire to be built up and conform so perfectly to the image of Christ. That's our destiny. That's our destiny. Your longing to know must not be to show off. No. It mustn't be for show off in any way. Your longing to know must be that you want to be a doer of the word. You want to put the word to work. You want to work the word in your life. You're thinking about perfection in all things, in thoughts, in words, and in deed. Praise God. You're thinking about perfection. You want to talk like Christ, think like Christ. Act like Christ. For that purpose, you're longing for the Word of God. Amen. You're longing for the Word of God. Because that's where God is taking us all. Every one of us. Amen. We're coming to that place when we measure up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in all things. We grow up into Him and unto Him in all things. Glory to God. Amen. Now, those three steps are very key. Number one, the need for revelation. All right? When you meditate on the need for revelation, it's like you're salivating. You're awakening your taste bud for revelation. Number two, you have to pray. All right? Revelation is given. You don't work at it. It is given to you. All right? Whatever labor you do in the word is a posture you're taking for that revelation to come to you. But it is given by God. For no flesh shall glory in His presence. Number three, you take time to study. Study the Word of God. And being a student of God's Word goes beyond just having a study and a study time. That's very important. But being a student of God's Word is having an attitude of inquisitiveness. An attitude of a learner. All right? That means while people are talking, you're learning. All right? You can tell the difference between a thought that is pure and a thought that is not pure. All right? A thought that is pure and an impure thought. You can tell the difference. Amen? And you're learning. You're learning. Everywhere you go, you're learning. Your heart is open to the word. See, that's very important. Are you learning? Are you growing? All right? You don't have to enroll in a physical school of the word before you can become a learner, a disciple of God's word. Now, learning from schools, that's very important. But you see, are you learning in life? Are you growing? Are you observing trends in your life? Do you chronicle God's dealings with you? All right? What you did last year and it didn't give you any result. Are you repeating the same this year? It shows you're not learning if you're repeating the same. All right? You don't have to go to a standard school, you know, to be able to learn that. No. All right? Observe. Be keen in observation. Observe what God is doing in your life. Observe the season. What is happening around you? All right? Observe the time. Amen. Be attentive. Listen. 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 All right? Listen to everybody. Sometimes we feel like, well, some people are not even, you know, worthy of listening to. But the truth is, if you listen to a fool, you have learned not how to, you know, you have learned how not to be a fool. If you listen to a wise man, all right, you've learned how to be wise. Praise God. But you may not have fools hang around you too much, all right? But you see, there are times people say some things and they vomit folly. But you've learned how not to be a fool. So you see, honor all men. Honor all men. Praise God. Praise God. That's very important. Now, let me say this. I want to clear some things very quickly. And I think I have, how much time do I have left? I still have like 10 minutes left. Thank you very much. Pastor Funke is reminding me of the time I have left. 10 minutes? 10 minutes. All right. Thank you, ma'am. Now, there's a lot going on. I just feel I should mention a couple of things. You know, I'm still going to do a teaching on eschatology. All right. I did one in Ife, at the Ife Church. All right. I believe the media folks will make it available so every one of us can download it and listen to it. But I'm going to do another one during the season to help a couple of us as to the many questions we are asking. Now, 5G network. Is it of God or not of God? Amen. Has the world come to an end? Amen. Now, the fear of vaccine. And people are thinking, okay, vaccine. You know, what if they now say, okay, we want to, you know, vaccinate you. Are you supposed to yield yourself to their vaccine? All right. Now, these are questions people are asking. Now, let me say, ever before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all right, at the Azusa Street Revival, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was God's benchmark to begin the end of days. The Bible tells us that in the last days, he says he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, last days. So when God poured out his Spirit upon the disciples in the upper room at Pentecost, the last days began. So the clock started ticking. Tick, tick, tick. It's still ticking. Now, there's a difference between the last days and the end of the world. Now, we're in the last days already. More than 2,000 years ago, the last days began. All right? But we have not come to the end of the world yet. Now, understand that. There are signs that prelude the happenings that will lead us to the end of the world. Now let's look at this very critically and intently. Number one, we're in the last days. Number two, the end of the world has not come yet. Number three, the signs of the end of the world. Matthew chapter 24. All right, there are signs there. And almost all the signs are happening and have happened. Almost all. All right? Now, when we look at eschatology, would consider all that. Number four, what should be our response to the end time? Amen? To the latter days. In other words, what should Christians be doing now? Number five, which is very, very important, is the Antichrist. Amen? Now, you remember Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, chapters 2, 3, and 4, he spoke about the Antichrist, particularly in chapter 2. Ever since that time, there had been Antichrists. All right? So, understand how these things work. The Antichrist, the culmination of evil. Antichrist simply means against Christ, but not necessarily against Christ. Antichrist also means the word anti from the root word in the Greek simply means in place of Christ. All right, so the Antichrist is not just someone who is against Christ, but someone who also seeks to take the place of Christ. All right, now the signs of the Antichrist are here. But understand this, that the Antichrist cannot manifest with the church still being around in the world. So the fear that, okay, the Antichrist here, they will put a chip in your hand, and when they put chip in your hand, you are going to take the mark of the Antichrist. You see, the mark of the Antichrist is much more than vaccination. The mark of the Antichrist is the mark that brings you into the consciousness of worship of the Antichrist. All right? Worship of the beast. So we're going to look at all that. Now, understand that the Antichrist cannot manifest with the church being here. There's such a thing as the catching up of the saints. We will have to be caught up first. All right? Before the Antichrist is revealed. And the Bible tells us, all right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the pouring of God's wrath upon the earth in the tribulation is not going to meet the church here. All right, there will be some saints on earth then, all right, Israel, who had not yet yielded to, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some other people will believe in the gospel, all right? But those of us who have believed in Christ, all right, and we're already in Christ, the church, we're not going to be here. We would have been caught up before the outpouring of God's wrath upon the earth. Now, understand that. Now, the 5G technology, all right, people, there's a lot of conspiracy theories flying around that, okay, the 5G is like he's setting the pace for the Antichrist and all that. Yes, that's very true. All right, but it is not going to hinder us Christians in any way. You see, 4G too set the pace for the Antichrist. Same, 3G. Amen. You see, everything God has decided to use to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, the enemy has always hijacked to advance his own purpose. So God is not against technology, all right, but the use of it, whether or not it is used for his purpose, that's God's consideration. All right, so I don't want us to be too much, you know, concerned about the 5G. The 5G has come to stay. That's the truth. All right. And the enemy is going to hijack it. For example, you are listening to me now via live stream. Technology. All right. There are some devil's kids who are streaming some dirty things online right now. All right. Still same technology. Does that make the technology evil? Now, take time to study and read. Don't just believe, you know, just anything that is flying around. The 5G all right, has been proven not to be outrightly detrimental to human health. All right? So people are saying, well, it causes cancer and all that. That's not true. Do some study yourself. It's not true. Well, it's going to pave the way for one economy, global economy, true. Global security, true. All right? Global tracking of everyone, true. You see, the architecture needed for the Antichrist to come must have been on ground before the catching up of the saints. And he's already here. So it's not like, don't be agitated. Listen, we have to live first. All right? We have to live first before the Antichrist is made manifest. Because of the presence of the church and the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling the church being the body of Christ, the Antichrist cannot manifest himself. So our agitation that, oh, hope the Antichrist is not coming, I'm not going to take the mark, and else, there's not going to be any mark except you refuse to follow God, all right, and renounce Jesus and refuse to walk according to God's word. You may be left behind, but not you, in Jesus' name. So the agitation, the Antichrist is coming, they are going to plant something in our hands, they are going to plant, forget about all that. All right, the mark of the beast is consistent with the plan of the devil to get people to surrender their will to him in the worship of the dragon and the beast. Praise God. All right? We're coming to all that. And so, if there's no worship involved in it, for example, the card you carry around, the credit card for those who use credit card, debit cards, all right? All your bank details, everything about you, all right, for the better part, is there. Amen? So you, but the fact that you carry it around is the thing that, okay, it's not harmful. Praise God. But when they plant it in your body, it's now, oh, that's the harmful part. Amen. Now, I'm not subscribing to the fact that we should have something planted in our bodies. But I'm saying to you that, look, they may have the plan, but it's not going to meet us here. The execution of that plan is not going to meet us here. That's the point. So don't be agitated. What should we be doing now? Very simple. Intensify our effort, graceful effort, in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recognize your place in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important. Number two, live a holy life. All right, get rid of anything and everything that might hinder you from welcoming Jesus Christ when he comes. Bible says, he that has this hope in Christ purifies himself, even as he is pure. Praise God. Number three, it is very important. All right, intensify your service for God. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Glory to God. Preach the gospel. Be pure. All right, get rid of anything that is dirty in your life and serve the Lord Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse. We should be unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, knowing fully well that our labor in Christ is not in vain. Praise God. I believe you've been blessed today. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the entrance of your word that has given us life. And thank you, Lord God, for the light of your word that has come to us. Blessed be your holy name. Our hearts are open much more, Lord, to be doers of this word and to receive more of your word, that we might do your word much more. And we give you praise for it. I declare that the blessing of God's word is upon you and your household. In Jesus' name, amen.